Welcome into the Yards After College podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm Kyle Ireland, and with me, as always, is the one and only, apparently the hater of Mountain Dew, Baja Blast, and other delicious flavors besides Pitch Black and Diet Mountain Dew. He is Sam Farnsworth, the disappointing one. Sam, my gosh, well, man. There was a little back and forth there on Twitter or X this last last weekend, because our colleague Mitch Harper was in the Mountain State enjoying some delicious Mountain Dew after the BYU West Virginia blowout, and what was the flavor that he
Atomic Blast or something? Yes, that's what it was, and that must be obviously a regional thing. It's probably I'm curious if it's just an on tap flavor, right, on fountain flavor, like you'll find at. You know, Sam's Club has this Berry Monsoon Mountain Dew, which I think is pretty good, but you only find it at Sam's Club and it's only in their fountain. And then, you know, your favorite, that Baja Blast, I don't know if it's your favorite, but the Baja Blast is usually a Taco Bell thing, but obviously it comes out in the summer for a little bit, which, by the way, I don't hate it, but yes, it's true that it does taste like carbonated cough syrup. So let's move on. And then, so the atomic one that I zoomed in on Mitch's picture, and it says like lemonade infused Mountain Dew or something. And I'm like, okay, how is that any different from probably this? What's the raspberry lemonade one that they've got going on right now?
Yeah, the Spark.
Yeah, it's is it much different? I don't know. You know, so that's kind of where I'm sitting with the Mountain Dew. Look, I like Mountain Dew. You know this. We talk about it on this show. Still waiting for Mountain Dew to step up and send us a few cases or something, you know, or help sponsor the show. Mountain Dew, hello. We're talking to you. Please listen to the Yards After College podcast. Anyway, but I'm also down with, you know, gosh, yeah. I am back and forth on this now, Kyle. Why are we down this tunnel? I do like trying all the new Mountain Dew flavors. I'm not against it. I like it, but it just ticks me off when they come and go so fast, especially if I like one. So that's my problem.
Are you, this brings up a thought, because my brother was down in Cedar City yesterday and sends me a picture of the Mountain Dew Game Fuel that's out right now. Is that what you're talking about? Are you talking about that or the Spark?
No, the Game Fuel. They've had Game Fuel for a while. Right?
This is different Game Fuel. I'm not talking, because the Game Fuel ones, I know we're going down a rabbit hole of Mountain Dew right here, but they've got like the Game Fuel that were like the Kickstart or like the, the energy like drink kind of can one. No, he sent me, it was a 12 pack. It's like some special edition. I don't know if it was like with Marvel or something. I don't know. I'm going to have to go to Cedar City and try and pick up some, but hopefully it comes north, works its way up to me.
One more thing on the Mountain Dew scams here. Look, I call them scams. I still love Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew, I love you. If you're listening, I love you. But what are the ones in the cans called? Why am I not remembering this?
Are you talking like the energy drink ones?
The tall.
The Mountain Dew Rise, I think, is that the ones you're referring to?
Now I'm just messing this whole segment up, Kyle. But you can buy them at the gas station.
No, I know what you're talking about. The Rises. You're talking about the ones that are like the pomegranate berry and the strawberry.
Is that what it's called? Rise.
Yeah, Mountain Dew Rise. Okay. You got a little wake up call, a little energy drink.
Kind of branded as an energy drink. Well, turn it around. Look at how much caffeine's in that, and then look at how much caffeine's in your 20-ounce bottle of Mountain Dew. It's the same thing, bro. Same thing. Same thing. Just different flavors, different marketing, but it's all good. It's all good.
As long as the caffeine's there to keep me awake, that's all I need. I don't care what the can says. Other than give me my milligrams of caffeine. But Sam, I was wide awake yesterday for all of our Sunday games for week 9 from start to finish, because 7:30 a.m. I was up. I was watching the Chiefs versus the Dolphins. I know you were still asleep, but I was up. I was watching that game because I wasn't going to let a good game go to waste, even though there wasn't a ton of local impact with that game. But then, my gosh, starting with the 11 a.m. slate for us here in the Mountain Time Zone. Holy cow, Sam. It was a busy, busy day for our local players. And we've said it pretty much every week this season, but yesterday topped them all. Yesterday was so busy. There was so much going on. We had guys making plays on the offensive side, guys making plays on the defensive side, turnovers, touchdowns, fumbles, interceptions, you name it, it happened. And I think that there would be no better way to start off this episode than to hear what your three stars of the week are, because there are so many options. I'm just fascinated to see where you go with this.
So many. I mean, Utah is a football hotbed, people. I know that people that listen to this podcast probably are, you know, they've listened to it more than once, or they get the theme here. But if they haven't listened before, we call it the Yards After College podcast. This is a local infused podcast. And what we mean by that is anyone who's played high school or college football in this state of Utah that is now in the NFL, we keep tabs on. And there are a lot of them this weekend alone. And I know we'll talk more about it, but this weekend alone, two kids that played high school quarterback in Utah are starting at quarterback in the NFL. Out of 32 teams, that's pretty darn cool, right? And that's just high school. There's four former quarterbacks that have passed through this state that were all on the field on Sunday. Well, one place tonight, Zach Wilson with the Jets. But anyway, I'm just saying, and that's just the quarterback position. I digress a little bit. Let's get to the three stars, and I'm starting on the defensive side of the ball with this one.
Third star!
Third star goes to this guy who we have not, we don't talk a ton about him, but he is still sticking around the NFL, still gets plenty of playing time. I'm giving a little love this week to Sione Takitaki of the Cleveland Browns, the linebacker for the Browns there in the middle of the defense. Three tackles. You look at that, you're like, okay, a lot of guys get three tackles every week. But he also picked up a big-time interception, his second career interception. The guy is just out there. Every week he makes plays. He's still got a job in the NFL. He's still someone the Browns like and they rely on. And the Browns have a very good defense or a pretty darn good, you know, probably top 10 or 8 defense in the NFL. And so we're talking about a defense that is playing really good, and Sione Takitaki's in the heart of it. I want to give him some love this week as my third star for getting that pick.
I like it. Sam, Sione, I've kind of followed him pretty closely since his senior year at BYU or his last year at BYU. I can't remember. Did he leave after a junior year? Regardless, he's kind of been one of those guys that have followed in that, you know, path of other linebackers before him, Kyle Van Noy, Fred Warner. And it was interesting, like, you know, how is Sione going to fit? He went into a really, you know, rough situation with the Browns. They weren't very good. They ended up making the playoffs a couple of years ago. Quarterback change, don't make the playoffs. Tears his ACL last year. And so he's kind of had some, like, ups and downs almost. Some of them, you know, have happened to him personally with the injury. But then, you know, Cleveland's not a place that a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, like, I want to go play for the Browns, you know. And to kind of see him make these impact plays for the Browns, super cool. I thought it was a really fun moment after the game. Goes over and gives one of the game balls to his wife up in the stands, sitting in the first row. So pretty cool moment for Sione Takitaki.
Very cool moment. So, yeah, third star. Let's move on. We'll go to the other side of the ball now.
Second star.
Now, I am not – okay, first of all, have you seen what C.J. Stroud is doing as a rookie quarterback in the NFL? And what he did on Sunday was crazy, right? The most passing yards in the game ever by a rookie quarterback.
Yep.
Ties for the most touchdowns in a game ever by a rookie quarterback. I don't – look, I'm not going to take away from from C.J. Stroud, but I don't think it's a coincidence that – his numbers and production is going up as he targets more of Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz is my second star this week, the former Bingham High School minor is just doing what he did when he was with the Dallas Cowboys. And now they're realizing, hey, this guy is a guy we need to have involved in our offense more. He's a great safety valve, not just a safety valve, but a great target for CJ Stroud, a rookie quarterback who's really coming into his own, in his own right. But then you've got Dalton Schultz yesterday, targeted 11 times on Sunday, had 10 receptions, 130 yards, and a touchdown. Dalton Schultz, my number two star.
Yeah, I know we mentioned this a few weeks ago because he had a slow start to his season. We talked about it in the preseason as well, like coming over from the Cowboys, you know, they sign him as a veteran presence for, you know, a rookie quarterback and kind of giving him like a security blanket almost, you know, to just be able to check the ball down to Schultz and use him as a valuable target. But didn't get into the end zone for, you know, 4 weeks, and then all of a sudden scores touchdowns in three games in a row, and then didn't get into the end zone in week eight. Ends up having his best game of the season yesterday with those 130 yards and touchdowns. So really cool. He has been such a reliable tight end. I mean, like if you play fantasy football, like Dalton Schultz is one of those guys the last 3 years where it's like after the Travis Kelce's of the world, you know, there's only a handful of guys that are even close to what Kelce does. And it's like Dalton Schultz is one of those guys right there, you know, after that, that's a receiving threat to get in the end zone. It's not one of those guys that's just a blocking tight end. So really, really fun to see the success that he's having and continuing to kind of catch fire here with the Texans, as they've been a pretty hot team in the last, you know, month of this season.
He was on my fantasy team. I drafted him. I drafted both of the Daltons for my tight ends. And coincidentally, neither are on my roster anymore. I wish Dalton Schultz I would have kept, though. I dropped him, though. I can't remember if it was because I was looking for some production or whatever, or if there was a buy involved. I can't remember why I dropped him. But I went out and I picked up Laporta from the Lions. And from a fantasy standpoint, I'm happy with the decision still. But I see what Dalton Schultz is doing. I'm like, man, it would be nice to have that on my roster still. Someone else already picked him up. However, I'll use that to transition to my number one star, because a guy that I picked up for tight end this week produced big time for my fantasy team. Here's my number one star.
First star.
Yes, he is listed as a tight end in fantasy football, but in the world of the NFL, he is everything. And we already know this. Taysom Hill gets my number one star this week. It's 2 weeks in a row now that he is just it kind of feels like the Saints with Derek Carr and their new coaching staff are realizing, wait, this guy equals wins when we use him. You saw the stat, Kyle. He is now, the Saints are now 18-1 when Taysom Hill carries the ball seven or more times. That's it. Let him carry the ball seven or more times. Well, the last couple of weeks, he's been like the leading ball carrier. And on Sunday, he had 11 carries for 52 yards. Alvin Kamara, 9 carries for 26 yards. Excuse me. Alvin needs a few more carries and a few more yards, I think, for the Saints to really have a respectable and productive offense moving forward. But the fact that Taysom's getting 11 carries, right where he should be every week. But that's not it. We know there's more. Taysom Hill threw a touchdown pass again, 3-yard touchdown pass, and he caught a touchdown pass again. He had 4 catches for 13 yards and a touchdown. And Jeremiah shared a stat that that he had gotten from, I think, ESPN. He shared it, Jeremiah Jensen from KSL Sports on our KSL Sports Live Sunday night television program, shared that Taysom Hill is like the first player since the 1960s to have 10 career passing touchdowns, receiving touchdowns, and rushing touchdowns, 10 of each at least in his career. Remarkable, remarkable. And the fact that the Saints are realizing Taysom still has value is awesome.
So, Sam, it is now time for Kyle's fun fact of the week. And this week, it's about Taysom Hill and a little bit of that stat that you just brought up that JJ shared on TV. So, Sam, Taysom Hill, like you mentioned, joined the 10-10-10 club, 10 receiving, 10 rushing, and 10 passing touchdowns in his career. Fifth player in NFL history to hit that mark, reach that club, which is a club that I didn't even know existed until yesterday. So really cool about that, just from my own personal knowledge. So the player that he joined that was the latest to do it was Frank Gifford, former USC product with the New York Giants. So Gifford, he played back into the 60s, like you mentioned, from 1952 to 1964. I believe it was in 1957 that he hit the mark, and then went on to play, you know, another five or so years in the NFL. But Sam, do you know the other four guys Holy other cow. Than Gifford? So you got Taysom Hill,
right?
Frank Gifford. Those are two of the five. So I've already got you part of the way there. Who are the other three players that are part of the 10-10-10 club in NFL history?
Oh, man. This is a good question. So I'm thinking quarterbacks, obviously, and older quarterbacks when they used to kind of do it all, even punted back in those days. I'll just guess a couple. I am going to guess Johnny Unitas.
False.
Okay. I will guess Bart Starr.
Nope.
Oh my gosh. Y.A. Tittle.
No. Sam, I knew this was going to be a tough one. I knew this was going to be tough. Also, because when I looked this up, I was like, not going to lie, I feel like I need to read some NFL history. Like, I love football. Like, I need to get caught up on this. Like I said, didn't know the 10-10-10 club existed.
Do you have years? That probably won't help me, but...
Here, I'm doing this on the fly, so bear with me. Bear with me. So we've got, let's go here. We'll
Sammy Baugh.
No, not Sammy Baugh. All right. So the first one, he was a player and a coach. My goodness, he passed away at the age of 72 in 1970. So this is a rough one. Way back in the day. So, oh my gosh, this was so long ago, Sam. Played from 1920 to 1929.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't know who that is, so just go ahead and tell me.
Jimmy Conzelman. Ever heard that name?
Conzelman. No. And as I'm thinking about it, I would think Fran Tarkenton would be in there, but he played more recently than Frank Gifford, I think, even, or maybe close to the same time.
Yeah, so... There's your first one along with Taysom and Gifford. Then you've got the one and only galloping ghost, Red Grange. He played with the Bears. He also played with the Yankees, which is crazy. Back when it was like the baseball football thing going on back in the day. Played with the Bears 1925 and then 1929 to 1934. So. My gosh, almost a century ago. That's crazy. So that's the fourth one. And then this is a similar time frame. A little bit later than those other two. Does that help you at all?
No. Not after hearing those two.
Played
I mean, I know
back,
Red Grange, but
yeah, played halfback, quarterback, and punter. This is the only one that I've heard of.
Right.
Other than Grange. This is Charlie Trippi, Sam. He's the fifth
Charlie
one.
Trippi.
Number one overall pick in 1945. He played from 1947 to 1955 with the Chicago Cardinals. So there you have it, Sam. That is the Kyle Fun Fact of the Week. Taysom Hill joins the legendary club of Gifford, Trippi, Grange, and Conzelman.
So the fact that Taysom Hill is doing stuff that no one alive has really probably ever seen before is pretty darn cool. Yeah.
66 years ago was when Gifford joined that club. So pretty wild. Pretty wild, Sam.
I like it. So, yeah, 3 stars. Taysom got number one. He deserves it.
All right, Sam. I like your 3 stars of the week. Figured Taysom was going to be in that. I didn't know if he was going to go number one because sometimes you throw the curveball at me. But Taysom had a remarkable game. Last 2 weeks, actually. I mean, he's just been on a tear the last two games. Really has kind of helped the Saints, you know, win back-to-back games there. But let's take a quick break, Sam, and then we'll highlight a couple other big-time performances from week 9. Welcome back to the Yards After College podcast powered by KSLSports.com. Sam, we before the break talked about your three stars, but there were a number of other guys that made big plays on Sunday, and I thought that it would be, you know, we would be remiss had we not mentioned them because there was a lot going on Sunday. And one of those guys is general manager came out earlier in the week and said the final 10 games of the year were going to be super important for him. And we've talked about giving this guy a chance for the rest of the year before we ride him off. And that's Jordan Love, former Utah State quarterback. He ends up going out there just having a, it wasn't like lighting it up, but like super efficient game, no turnovers. Packers just destroyed the Rams playing a backup quarterback, what they should have done in that game, and end up snapping a four game losing streak with it. So I was happy to see Jordan Love out there doing that. And, you know, I think that it's one of those things, especially with young quarterbacks, you need to have those wins come because getting into losing streaks, it's just like, it's the confidence breeds confidence. Losing breeds more, you know, losing, and those streaks kind of just, you know, tumble and you kind of end up having your season cave in on itself. So, pretty good performance from Jordan Love considering where he had been the last month, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And he's, you know, he's got improvement that still needs to be made as the season continues, but there's still games to be played as well. There's still room to grow. We've seen him be very efficient. We've seen him be very poised early in the season. And I think we saw a lot of that on Sunday as well, especially on that late touchdown pass. What a play that was. And, you know, the vision he showed, and not only that, just the execution of that play. The design of that play was just so well done, and then his throw was just money. And so you see moments like that, and you're like, okay, Jordan Love has what it takes to be a very successful NFL quarterback. Let's hope that he can consistently put it together, and you know, build on that. And I hope the future is bright for him.
Sam, another guy that played this week and got his first start actually was a guy we mentioned last week, and that's former BYU quarterback Jaren Hall. He ended up having his first start and super early near the end of the first quarter, goes down, tries to get in to the end zone on a run, just scrambled towards the goal line, gets drilled, and then his head bounced off of the turf. You knew immediately just watching it. You're like, he's going to be out in the, at least they're going to look for a concussion. And then you know, he's going to be out for at least a little bit. Josh Dobbs comes in. Obviously they roll Hall out for the rest of the game. Dobbs comes in, plays super well, just about as well as any other quarterback did in week 9. And just a bummer for Jaren because finally gets, you know, an opportunity to show what he can do. And he, you know, they go 3-and-out on the first drive. Second drive leads him right down into the red zone. He's, you know, missed only one pass and it was into the end zone, just a little high. Had his tight end and TJ Hawkinson and almost had a touchdown pass out of it. But, you know, goes 5 of 6, 78 yards passing, runs the ball a couple times. But like we saw at BYU where, you know, running for the goal line gets popped. He's had that concussion issue in the past. Just kind of wanted to get your take on Jaren's health moving forward. And then also what you think about the situation there in Minnesota, because Kevin O'Connell came out Monday morning, said that Dobbs is obviously going to start in week 10. No surprise there with Jaren still in concussion protocol, but if Dobbs keeps it up, plays like he did, you know, on Sunday, I don't know if they're going to open the door for Jaren again this season.
Yeah, it's not looking great. It's unfortunate, you know, the injury, especially with how well he had started, how well he was playing to that point. And then obviously, as we know about his concussion history at BYU, hopefully this isn't something that becomes a bigger problem than it already is. You know, he's in the protocol. How long will he be in the protocol for before he's able to clear and return to practice and things like that? And then obviously Josh Dobbs, a guy who they traded for to add depth. And you know, let's go back a week. When they announced Jaren Hall as the starting quarterback, I'm not saying they didn't have confidence in him, but it kind of felt like, well, this is our best option. This is all we have. So we're going to go with Jaren Hall. We like Jaren Hall. We have confidence in him. We picked him for a reason. We just don't think he's quite there yet, but we have to go forward with him. It was kind of the feeling that I had as they went through the week of business. But obviously they went out and they made a trade as well to add some depth there with Josh Dobbs, a guy who has started this season for another team. And then he comes into the game and does what he did to lead the team back and to win a game when he didn't even know some of his teammates' names, never took a snap with them during practice or anything like that. And so it like you said, it's kind of the no-brainer that they're going to make him the starting quarterback this week with Jaren Hall still hurt. So you're going to go with Dobbs, but also what does it mean? You asked that question. What does that mean for the future going forward for Jaren's career? Well, I go back to what his coach said last week, how no matter what happens in this game, it's not a career-defining game. You know, there's still a long ways to go for him. So hopefully the injury doesn't define him or label him as he moves forward in his career. And hopefully the opportunity for Jaren Hall is still equal and fair and there for him when he returns to the Minnesota Vikings, because this is a big offseason for the Vikings. Do they try to sign Kirk Cousins to a big new deal, you know, or does the quarterback position open up and maybe open the door for Hall to compete for a major role there? So there's a lot going on. And obviously now Josh Dobbs is in that mix, and he's going to, if he continues to snowball his success with Minnesota, then that'll make that uphill battle for Jaren even steeper.
Yeah. I thought you were spot on last week in the podcast, and kind of, I mean, aside from like the injury, obviously, but like it played out the way that you predicted it would. And it's unfortunate the way that Sunday ended up going, just because obviously for us selfishly, like it's more fun, the more guys that we have playing in the NFL that we can keep track of and, you know, talk about on, you know, TV and write about on the website. It's a bummer. Hopefully we get to see Jaren bounce back, and, you know, who knows, maybe Dobbs ends up struggling. It wasn't like he was on fire in Arizona. He had a really game on Sunday, really good game on Sunday. But at the same time, you know, it wasn't like the Falcons were expecting to see Dobbs play. And sometimes that helps the team that ends up making the quarterback switch, where the defense hasn't schemed for the guy that ends up getting all the action. And crazy game. It was a fun game, crazy game. But yeah, we'll see what happens with Jaren moving forward. A couple other things real quick, Sam, before we turn our attention to next week. Guys that I'm just going to mention, and then and if you have anything that you want to highlight with them, feel free to do so. Former Utah quarterback Tyler Huntley threw a touchdown pass for the first time this season. Came in garbage time as the Ravens were just destroying the Seahawks. Ends up finding Odell Beckham Jr., which is kind of a cool thing to, you know, I'm sure that Tyler Huntley's like, you know, watched Odell play, you know, for the time that he's been in the NFL, and to be able to have him as a teammate now, hit him for a touchdown was pretty cool. Tyler Allgeier, a former BYU running back, scored in that Minnesota Vikings Falcons game. It was his first touchdown since he scored two in the opening week of the season. And then also Kyle Van Noy forced a fumble during the Seahawks Ravens game. Back-to-back plays with sacks for Van Noy. So pretty big performance. And it's just crazy. I'll just add this. Van Noy, to be a guy that, you know, essentially came off of his couch after the first month of the season, not getting signed, signing with the Ravens, one of the best defenses in the NFL, and then just playing at a really high level like he has. That's pretty cool to see. And amazing that he didn't end up getting signed in the offseason, just because I thought he still had a pretty good year last year with the Chargers. And then lastly, Bobby Wagner, a guy that you mentioned last week in your three stars. I believe he was one of your three stars last week, Sam. He ended up recovering a fumble in the Seahawks Ravens game as well. So anything you want to add to that mix?
Yeah. Listen to this.
Third star.
Did you hear that, Kyle? Yes, I've got another third star. Yeah, Kyle Van Noy. I was thinking about him as my third star. I wanted to give Sione Takitaki some love, but Kyle Van Noy has been an absolute monster, an absolute beast. He is still very, very good. And yeah, so I'm just going to throw that in there really quick. A late third star induction, co-third star with Sione this week. But And then also going back to what you were saying about some of these other guys, but Huntley especially, you know, yeah, he came in garbage time, but you know what? He did exactly what he needs to do when he gets the reps that he gets, especially at quarterback, because quarterback of quarterbacks, they barely get reps. So when he gets reps, he goes in there, he throws the ball, completes passes, scores touchdowns. Good for him, because that's what you got to keep doing whenever you're getting those opportunities.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that you're going to end up seeing him play more this season. He's gotten reps in three games now. That was the most he's played, though, just with they were up by like 30 points. And so that game was already over in the second half. And so the Ravens, they're super good right now, Sam. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him play a little bit more later on the season. Lamar's up there in the MVP race, and good things happening for the Ravens. Kyle Van Noy, Tyler Huntley, a big part of that. Hopefully we can see Marcus Williams come back. He's been banged up on and off this season. So he was inactive yesterday, and I believe last week so as well. So turning our attention to week 10, Sam, I guess before that, tonight's Monday Night Football game. You've got the Chargers versus the Jets. Zach Wilson at home. You've got the Chargers, Michael Davis, Alohi Gilman. A couple guys there. Also, Simi Fehoku. So a few local guys to pay attention to on Monday Night Football. But, Sam, in week 10, there's another game in Germany. You've got a pretty interesting matchup, I think, with all the stuff that's happened with the Raiders on Sunday Night Football. You got the Jets versus the Raiders next Sunday night. There's also, you know, San Francisco versus Jacksonville. I mean, there's some pretty good games in week 10. Do you have a game that you're keeping your eye on that is your game of the week?
Well, looking a little bit further ahead, last week I saw that Saints Vikings matchup and I was like, ooh, that'll be a lot of fun. A lot of locals in that game.
Yeah.
Jaron, but unfortunately we already talked about it, but, Jaron won't be playing in that game, but that's still a very interesting game. 2-5-4 teams. Saints are on the top of their division. Vikings seem like maybe they're still trending in the right direction.
Don't write off Kyrus Tonga is going to tackle Taysom Hill in the backfield, and you're going to still get your local fix, Sam.
Or Jamal, right? Or someone,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that game's got my attention, but so does the 49ers and Jaguars game. Again, the Jaguars continue to just play great football this year, 6-2. Will they emerge as the AFC champion, as I predicted in the preseason? Let's see. But that'll have some good local flair in it as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's such an interesting game. It's one of those games where Jacksonville, they're one of those teams that I don't think a lot of people are like, oh yeah, like we believe in the Jaguars, but they're 6-2. They're leading that division and got a couple game lead on the rest of the teams there in the AFC South, which hasn't been a great division over the last few years. But you've got San Francisco, who's on a losing streak. They need to pick up a win there on the road. So that's a big game. I'm going to go with the Sunday morning game. I'm going with the Frankfurt game in Germany. You got the Colts versus the Patriots. I know it's my team, Sam. I know it's the Colts, but you've got Zach Moss. Didn't get in the end zone in week 9. I want to see a little bit more usage out of Zach Moss. They didn't use him as much as
scaled back. Yeah.
Scaled him back quite a bit in week 9. And I still think that 1-2 punch is, and granted, like they were just wrecking the Panthers on defense. I mean, Colts had a couple of pick sixes, and the Panthers, you know, one win team. It's not like, you know, they're anything to write home about, but the Patriots, they've only got 2 wins. They're probably going to start thinking about entering tank mode. So I think that'll be a fun game. I'm interested to see if we can get Zach Moss some run there. Julian Blackman is actually having a pretty good season there in the defensive backfield for the Colts as well. And then Matt Gay, I mean, just a super solid kicker right now. I'm really liking what I see from him. And the fact that he's getting, like, he's not Justin Tucker level, but he's getting to be pretty automatic from 40 plus, Sam. And I like seeing that from these guys. again, we talked about this a few weeks ago. We don't always focus on the kickers and the offensive linemen, but we need to give them a shout out as well because they're still locals in the NFL. And also, we got punters as well. We got Mitch Wishnowski in your game of the week. So fun stuff, Sam. Sam, last thing before we set you loose. Can you believe it's already week 10? Because it's kind of crazy that we're already past the midway point of the season.
Football always goes way too fast. Not a bad thing. It just, I think because we're so entertained and we enjoy it so much that it just goes by a lot quicker. Plus, Kyle, you know, I'll speak more for myself, but we're getting older. And with every year that passes, the days and weeks go by a lot faster too. However, yeah, no, football season always, like, it just goes by in a blink of an eye. So trying to enjoy it. I am enjoying it. And we still have a lot of football left. But yeah, 10 weeks through, I'm loving it.
Yeah, no, it's been super fun. Really good season for the local players so far. We'll continue to talk about it on this podcast. You can follow it on KSL Sports Live, KSLSports.com, and the KSL Sports app. For Sam Farnsworth, I'm Kyle Ireland. You can follow Sam on Twitter, on X, on social media, whatever, at Samsworth_KSL. Or sorry, not underscore KSL. _TV, Samsworth_TV. And then you can follow me at Kyle Ireland. Until next week, this has been the Yards After College podcast powered by KSLSports.com.